All right. Speaking of chopping it up, one of our favorites. Normally we talk to him on Monday, but a little delayed this week. And it's a good thing because, you know, we need the Austin regional preview from legendary lifetime Longhorn Greg Swindell, who joins us now from vacation. Where are you at today, Zeke?
Forgot to make my bed. I'm sorry. Let me raise that up a little bit. How about that? No, I'm actually not vacation. I'm in Galveston, Texas. We're going to the brand new Wooden Bat Cowboy Collegiate League is starting. Our first game is Monday. Coaching the Galveston Sand Crabs. If you look into the history of Galveston baseball, the Sand Crabs are back at the turn of the century in the 1900s. And we got throwbacks. We're going to have Moody Buccaneer sleeveless jerseys and purple jerseys and purple pants. I mean, we got it all going down here. So a couple more workouts and then games start on Monday in Conroe. So looking forward to it.
That's awesome. Yeah, you were talking about that last week. I completely forgot. How long is the season, Zeke? I've got my folks live in Houston, but you know, my dad's BOI from Galveston. We're down there all the time. I'd love to catch a game at some point. How long does this thing go?
Well, it's 40 games. We'll have 20 home games, 20 road games. Goes through June 1st to the end of July in playoffs. We're hosting the All-Star game here in Galveston at the end of June. There's teams, I think, in Baytown, Texas City, Pearland, and there's in Conroe and us. So there's five in the South, five in the North, and I'm looking forward to get this thing going. Our owner, Rick Bailey, he done a lot of work. I mean, it's an inaugural year for a league to start. So a lot of work's gone on. He's done great. Actually, that's where I'm at right now. He's got a nice little bay house, and we've done a little fishing so far, and got a few of the kids staying here with us until they can go in and be with their host families. So everything is set. We just got to figure out how we're going to work on the mound, and that's my job.
I have no doubt y'all's pitching staff's going to be taken care of if you're in charge. Well, that's awesome, man. Congrats and good luck. And, yeah, excited to get updates on that throughout the course of the summer as well. But would love to get your thoughts on Texas baseball. You know, we haven't spoken. It feels like it's been 2 months since that SEC tournament game against Arkansas. But, you know, Bucky and I talked about it early in the week. The strategy by Jim Schlossnagel, obviously, to not start Dylan Volantis. Instead, Cody Howard gets the nod. The Longhorns go down 6-1 after just the second inning. It almost, not to make excuses, but it almost felt like Texas didn't really want to be there. Now, kind of your thoughts. I know you're one of the most competitive dudes I know, Zeke, but I would love to get your take on just kind of the way Texas handled their trip to Hoover last week.
Yeah, I mean, similar to last year. They started Ethan Walker last year. I didn't see that one come until the game started. Cody Howard, the only thing I can think of, these guys, they're looking for that another starter in case Ruger cannot go. And you hear people talking, why didn't Valanta start? He came in an 8-1 game and threw a couple innings. I just think they're trying to figure out someone else to start the ball game. They know what Dylan Volantis can do. They know what Luke Harrison can do. Not sure of the. I don't know what's going on with Ruger. So he's definitely going to have plenty of rest. We know that. But yeah, it's the last 2 years just leaves a bad taste in your mouth coming out of Hoover. I mean, they were there a total of what, 4 days and 2 years, and coming away with not a win and really not playing good baseball. So it would tell me that they just need to, that you can't just kick it in gear. And Coach Sloss talked about that this week, that they were going to play a lot of baseball during the week. And I was hoping they were going to play a lot of baseball last week. That would have kind of taken things, the edge off a little bit. But I think they'll be ready. I they got the 12 o'clock start. I understand that you're going to get rest, but they've had 9 days rest. They've had 10 days rest. Right? And plus, you a home field advantage. You work for that. And at 12 o'clock noon on a Friday, I don't see it being 7,000 people there. I just don't see it. And if it was a 5 o'clock game, maybe you'll pack it by the time it's over. But either way, hey, it's regional baseball. If you win that, again, like last year, you're going to host a super regional. So they've done their work to get to where they are right now, and now they just have to finish the job and win basically five more games and get to Omaha.
Yeah. Zeke, so the words that I saw upon the return from Hoover were intense and intentional work was being done as soon as they got back to Austin. Do you think that stems from what you're talking about, from what we saw last year to where it was kind of, just kind of going through the motions effort in the tournament? And then you come back and we know what happened there. How much of that do you think factored into Schloss to get these guys in game form mentally and physically for the regional?
I mean, you heard him all week talking about he didn't like the way they played. It was sloppy. Pitching after Howard, I mean, I watched the games. You throw the ball down the middle, it's going to get hit. I mean, that's what happened to the big home runs by, well, I think his name is Koshiel. Good player. Arkansas is a really good hitting team, and if you leave it over the middle, it's going to get hit. So these guys, you're going to have to find a way to kick it in gear, and it'll be interesting because you're Texas. You're supposed to win. You're supposed to be ready. And I just hope at 12 o'clock on tomorrow that they just don't come out flat, because Holy Cross is not a bad team. Yeah, their record is under 500, but at any time, and Texas knows this from last year, that a team can beat you. So they need to come out. I mean, they need to start getting ready right now. I'd sleep in my uniform tonight.
Did you ever do that, Zeke? Did you ever sleep?
I might do that anyway. I'm gonna sleep in it Sunday night before the Sand Crabs playing Conroe.
Oh, that is fantastic. Legendary lifetime Longhorn Greg Swindell joining us here on Bucky and BK. Yeah, I've heard of baseball players being superstitious. That's next level right there, sleeping in your uniform. You know, to me, and I think this is something we've talked about, like, look, Texas has had the same weekend rotation all year. That's pretty rare, but it's great. It's been a different order, obviously, but Volantis, Harrison, Riojas, those are your three guys. But when you get to the postseason, you typically want to have four. Do you feel like Texas has that right now? If they do need to go to a fourth starter, is there somebody that you trust to potentially get Texas some outs early in a game in that type of situation?
I mean, I've seen watched Cody Howard for 5 years. I think he can do the job. He just left a couple of balls over the middle of the plate. Yeah. And after that, I mean, take away those two, he gave up just one run, I think, or two runs. He was throwing 95, 96 miles an hour and good slider. So I don't think he would be a bad option. Hopefully it won't come to that. Hopefully they just win your three games and get out of there. But Cody right now would probably be your fourth guy, especially since he started that game in Hoover. That would just be my opinion. Yes. Hopefully Ruger's okay and Luke will be on. We know what Dylan will give us on Saturday, whether it's a winner's game or an elimination game. So just looking forward to it. We got practice at 3, so game's at 12, so I'll get to be able to watch a lot of it tomorrow.
There you go.
So your thoughts on that game being an early game? I kind of like the early game because you're playing an opponent that probably isn't used to the heat right here. So kind of your thoughts right here on game number one, not the best hitting team that you have coming in. So here you go. Here's a chance to kind of juice up your pitching staff and get some confidence as you start moving forward.
Yeah, I think hopefully it's 100 degrees. I mean, that's the home field advantage in Austin.
Exactly.
100 degrees and a little humid. But Holy Cross coming in, I mean, their guy, I was looking up at his numbers, Wayota, something like that, pitched in two games in their conference tournament. Pitched on the 18th and went 9, and then came back 2 days later and went 5 and got the save. So the guy's durable. Could it have a lasting effect on him? Possibly, especially if it's hot at 12 o'clock tomorrow. But, Holy Cross, I think Texas, if their starting pitching is on, that will dominate this series because Tarleton does have a really good hitting team. But the other teams, UCSB and Holy Cross, I think Texas pitching can dominate those guys. And Tarleton has the upper hand if they do end up playing Tarleton because of what happened earlier this season. But they didn't face a Dylan Volantis. So, it'll be a little different. I just think the pitching that Texas is going to be too good, and hoping that we see the Flora-Volantis matchup on Saturday, because that this Florida guy is something special.
Yeah. Oh, you're hoping to see that? I'm hoping Florida pitches on Friday, right, so we don't have to see that matchup, Zeke.
I hope we see it, but we win, right? We want to win, but
here you go.
I mean, that Florida kid is, I think his whip's below one, his ERA is barely over one, and 4-5-1 strikeouts. So hopefully they'll pitch him tomorrow.
and get the win, but
either way, Texas pitching will dominate this regional. I kind of see it going maybe all the way, 7 games. I do. Hopefully it's just three and out for Texas and they can advance, but pitching, in my opinion, is going to be the key, or going to dominate, and will the hitters show up?
Yeah,
that's going to be it. You've done it all year and kind of went flat for a little bit in Hoover and towards the end of the season. So hitting also will obviously be the biggest key for Texas. I have no doubt that the pitching is going to be dominant this weekend.
Yeah. Legendary lifetime Longhorn Greg Swindell joining us here for a couple more questions on Bucky and BK. You know, you brought up the Tarleton State game earlier. Obviously, Texas and Tarleton, they played a midweek game back in the middle of March. The Longhorns jumped out to a 1-0 lead and then lost 6-1 at home. Now, last year, it's different. These are different teams. But obviously, last year, UTSA came into Austin in the regular season, beat Texas. It was clear they were playing with some confidence at the dish in the tournament. Does that at all worry you? Or like you said, there was no Volantis. There was too much different. It was a midweek game. Texas should be just fine if they get that rematch with the Texans.
If Tarleton State happens to beat UCSB, which they could, they haven't faced anyone like Dylan Volantis all year, and Sam Cozart. So it's going to be a tough task for them. Again, I said the pitching is not going to be a problem this weekend. I have 100% positive with that. Can Texas hit? But Tarleton State will have confidence because they prove they can come in and win. Yes, it was on a Tuesday. Yes, it was after St. Patrick's Day. But Texas is a really good ball team. The layoff is what's getting me. You can practice all you want, and it's hard to just get there and just crank it up at 12 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah, that's kind of the weird thing to follow up on that. It's like, and Bucky's been harping on this week, and I know it's going back to something we touched on a little bit earlier, but like, you know, every game it felt like was go, go, go. Like you're playing to win, you're playing to win, you're playing to win. And then it's only one game in 12 days for Texas. And that one game, they weren't playing to win in Hoover. So it's like, look, if Texas loses this weekend, heaven forbid, I don't think Jim Schlossnagel is going to be allowed to punt on the conference tournament next year. But it's like, I'm kind of with you on that, Zeke. Like, I don't know if you were ever in a situation in your career, pros, college, high school, where it's like you just didn't really care about a game and you had to all of a sudden crank it up for another game. Did you ever do that? And like, how tough is it to go from like, we've already locked up something, so this game doesn't matter, to, oh crap, we better play well or our season's going to end?
Yeah, I mean, you just kind of rest on your laurels. I mean, you're like, you have nothing to play for. I mean, we in the big leagues, we clinched like a week or two before the season ended, but you're still playing. You're still playing games every day, and you're still getting ready. You're still preparing. Yeah, you're now on a schedule to pitch every other day to keep your arm ready and keep in game shape. And these guys, it's one game in 12 days, and it wasn't a good one. So, I would have called a team in and played them during the week, played an inter-squad, played a practice game or something. But the Texas pitching went against the Texas hitters, so the Texas hitters are seeing some good pitching. But it is. But when that opposite uniform gets over there, hopefully they'll jump out again to a good start, and that's what'll be, and give them confidence, and then they can just get it rolling. And it's a tough task after 12 days to get cranked. It's hard to slow down when you get out there, but you have to slow the game down once you get out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Zeke, last one for me. Not to put the cart before the horse, because there's lots of business that starts tomorrow at noon right here in Austin. But your thought on the layout of the tournament here from here, if you're able to get through this, you get the winner of the Eugene Regional. Kind of your thought on the path right here, the favorability of it for Texas, if you're able to advance out of this one.
That is. I mean, it's all on but who shows up. What team shows up? Texas is good enough to win five more games. I mean I've kind of predicted things this year. I was 7-0 when they were going to Tennessee. They went 5-2 to end the season. But I really think they have a good path. But they have to play their baseball. We've talked all year, BK and Roddy, about you can't. This isn't the time to lay an egg again. I mean, you lay an egg, your season's going to be done. So,
yeah.
Eugene, I mean, Oregon, I haven't looked at all the teams out there, but Oregon's a really good team. I had them a couple of years ago in a regional at UCSB, and some of the same players. The coach is really well. I mean, they hit for power. They can run. I'm not saying they're going to be the team to come out of there, but you get to a super, that's great. But any team that makes it that far is going to be playing good baseball. See, right now it is. It's one game at a time. You hear it cliche-ish. Take it one game at a time. Win that one tomorrow. Get your rest. And the biggest game will be the second game if you win tomorrow. And I see no problem with Texas. I mean, it's been what? If they don't get to Omaha, it's been 6 years or something like that since they've been. It's been a while. It's almost heartbreaking.
I know that it's
happening. But it does. But that just the parity in college baseball team. Everybody's good. There's no cakewalks. But I hopefully Texas gets back and we watch them here from Galveston and in Omaha. That'd be great.
Nice. Yeah, 2022, the last time Texas got to Omaha. It feels like 60 years. Forget six. It feels like 60.
I don't think they won a game, though.
No, they didn't. They didn't. So you're right. That was the last time they got there, but they didn't win a game. Doing barbecue. Yeah, so that's – yeah, it's we're not used to this around here. No, I know it hurts you. That's for sure. Yeah. Well, Zeke, always enjoy it, man. Best of luck with the start of the season down there. I'll probably text you looking for a link to watch, and then I'll text you about coming down for a game. But – good luck, and obviously we look forward to talking to you about that, and hopefully we're talking about a Texas trip to the Super Regional next week.
All right, man. Let's do it.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the time.
Thank you. All right.
There he goes. Legendary lifetime Longhorn Greg Swindell joining us here on Bucky and BK. Rodney Rodriguez filling in for the Buck. And, yeah, look, that's it. It's a weird thing that Texas has done to itself, right? Like one game in 12 days. And that one game was a total stinker because he didn't really care that much. And now all of a sudden you've got to ramp things back up. Now they've done inter squads. They've done simulated games. Jim Schlossnagel has talked about erring on the side of work all week long in preparation for this regional tomorrow. But it's like, you better be ready to go, because if you're not, your season could be done on Saturday. Double, like, that's how quick it could go wrong for Texas if they aren't able to totally change the mindset that what they had in Hoover. They've got to be looking like a national championship contender. Otherwise, again, this run could be done this weekend.
Well, and it's like Zeke was just talking about. I mean, you can simulate and you can scrimmage and you can do all the different things that you want, but it's things are drastically different when your opponent has a different color jersey on. Yeah. That's where everything changes, the intensity, everything. And, you know, I think that the way this just plays itself out is, I think what some people may be thinking right now, of course, still heartbroken and stung from last year with UTSA. I mean, is Tarleton this year's UTSA? I mean, is that where people, is that in the back of some people's minds to where, yeah, it's like, is it going to be the Texans this year that, and the other part of it is, like we've talked about, you don't know what you're going to get from this team.
Right.
It's like, yeah, you know, at its best, I take them against anybody.
Yeah.
At its worst, yikes. Holy right. smoke. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. No, I mean, look, the good news is you're playing these games at home, and Texas has looked like a legitimate national championship contender at the dish all season long. They're 29-4. So all the work that you did in the regular season, look, because You built up such an elite resume in the regular year. It didn't matter what you did in the SEC tournament, and that's great. So, all right, well, you put in all that work for this. Here's your reward. You get to host your way to the College World Series. Now go take advantage. You couldn't last year. Now go take advantage this year. And, yeah, there's that comparison with Tarleton State winning a midweek game in the regular season just like UTSA did last year. UTSA last year was a hell of a lot better than this Tarleton State team this year. And also, I know Texas isn't super healthy. You know, Max Grubbs out for the year. We're not entirely sure what Ruggeri Rojas is. It sounds like he's going to pitch, but what does he look like? But like compared to last year, Texas is healthier. It's a deeper roster. And I think it's a worse regional too versus what you had to deal with a year ago. So there are no excuses. We open the show talking Texas football, how it feels like there's no excuses with Steve Sarkisian's squad this year. There are no excuses for Texas baseball to not get out of this weekend. I mean, part of me, it's like to not make it to Omaha, but especially to not get out of this weekend. You've got everything you need to win. It's a favorable draw. It's one of the easiest regionals in the country, according to a number of different metrics. Go take advantage. If you lose this weekend, this whole season is a colossal failure. Like last year, you at least won the SEC championship. It was disappointing for sure, but like at least you had a championship that you could brag about a little bit. This year, I know second place in the SEC isn't bad, but it's not a title. You lose in the regional again. There's no way to sugarcoat it. This would be a failed year two of the Jim Schlossnagel era.
You know, but I'm really not a fan, especially in baseball. I'm just not a fan of a lot of time off, you know, and momentum. I mean, to me, momentum is so big in baseball. And I think that you know, we talk about taking the foot off the gas and hitting the switch and all this. That's a lot of time. That is a lot of time. And again, in a positive sense, it's good because you get dudes right. And maybe you get the mindset right. I mean, if somebody's in a slump, maybe it's a good time to do that. But I don't know. I don't know how you get better not taking on quality opponents. That's kind of my whole thought with that. That's why even in football, I'm like, okay, is a bye week happening at the right time? I mean, if you've got a team on a roll and boom, you're off for a week, I'm like, man, kind of wish you had a game that week. So that's where I'm interested to see how this team comes out tomorrow at noon. And I do. I love the scheduling. I mean, with an opponent like Holy Cross, is this heat and humidity is just going to blow them off the map. I mean, you come out, you take advantage of that, and hopefully a quick start and you know, solidify yourself as the host team is what I'm hoping to see.
Yeah, no, you got to take care of business tomorrow. You shouldn't be worried about Holy Cross, the fourth seed. And look, they won their conference championship. They're playing well. You talk about momentum, but it's a team with a losing record during the regular season. It's one of the weakest four seeds in the field. I don't care if you're playing the best four seed. You should always win, but one of the weakest four seeds in the field on paper. You don't want to start 0-1 against them and then really have to claw your way back. Luke Harrison, by the way, is going to get the ball. That's been announced, or at least it's come out within the last hour or so, that Luke Harrison will start game one for Texas tomorrow at noon. Kind of figured it wasn't going to be Dylan Volantis, right? You save Volantis for what you hope is a 1-0 game against the winner of UCSB and Tarleton State. Curious if it was going to be Ruggeri Rojas. Like, how's his arm? Is he healthy enough? Or, you know, do they want to save him for another, you know, 2-0 potential regional final game on Sunday? Luke Harrison, the graduate, who's been a part of a number of postseason games. That guy's been a part of everything. That dude, it says he's a fifth-year senior. I swear he's been here for 15 years, and I love that because I love him. But he will get the ball for Texas tomorrow in game one. So hopefully he could set the tone for the Longhorns, eat five or six innings, get to the bullpen, and Texas can win a pretty comfortable game one to get some more rest. Like, that's why and I get it. I know Texas fans are frustrated. You heard Zeke talk about it. It's like, dude, it's going to be like 90 plus degrees, and it's more so it's Friday. It's a work day, and it's at noon. Yeah. It's like, are you going to be able to fully pack the dish? And you've got this new party deck and temporary seating. Are you going to be able to fill that up for your first game of the tournament? You know, in Schloss's eyes, he's thinking maybe the heat thing, like you talked about, because Holy Cross is from Worcester, Massachusetts. They don't have this type of weather there right now. And also, I think it's a rest thing. Like, you play at noon. You win that game, you don't play again until Saturday night, where obviously if you play Friday night, it's less time to recover before your second game. And also, look, it's not supposed to rain. I know the Buck's not here to give us his elongated weather forecast as he usually does. But it's like, if the rain pops up, if you're the first game and you get delayed, then you're still going to be playing at a decent hour. If you're the night game and stuff gets delayed, you could be ending at 11, at midnight, at 1 a.m., and then all of a sudden you got to get right back to the ballpark. So I think Schloss is like, man, the weather around here has been very weird lately. I don't want to take any chances in case we're playing at night and stuff gets affected. I think that might be a part of the decision, too. I agree with it, but obviously, I don't know what the crowd is going to look like with it being during the middle of a workday. That's Friday. This is the city that never works, Double R. What are we talking about?
Yeah, you know, people act like it's a 3-day holiday weekend all the time over here. You know, you get off work at 2 o'clock. You get out of work at 2 o'clock on Thursday, and hell, you're off until 10 o'clock on Monday morning. So that's the way that people are going to find ways to get to the dish for this, especially with that, like the enhanced party deck and all that. I suspect that this place is going to be juiced up pretty good tomorrow. So. Not to worry right there. And again, yeah, the ambiance and all that is great. But again, where we talk about the quality, and again, not a slight, but when we talk about Holy Cross, if we get to the point where you need the crowd to beat Holy Cross, it's like, sheesh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great point.
Maybe I am worried about Tarleton State at that point.
This game could be played at Holy Cross, and Texas should win handily. Right. So, yeah, there's going to be enough people there tomorrow. I hope it's a great crowd. It should be a great crowd. You have our permission to take the day off of work. Kids are out of school. Go spend time with your kid. Go be a good parent, you know. Take the clients out for a beer at the ballpark. Why not? Get out there, support this team. They have earned it. And it shouldn't matter too much, though. That is well said. All right, we'll take
Dr. Sam Bass is ready to write doctor's notes. I got you covered.
You're Dr. Sam Bass. I'm Dr. Brody Lane. Maybe Dr. William Cannon, aka the Buck. All three of us will all sign the note so you can.
There you go.
Get out there. I like that. Sam Bass. That's a good one right there.
Sam Bass.
That's well done. That's well done. All right. We'll take your thoughts. We'll get into some NBA talk. Double R's got his Spurs shirt on. So we'll preview game 6 of the Western Conference Finals. Can San Antonio force a game 7, or does this thing end tonight? We'll dive into that, plus a little more Longhorn conversation. But before anything else, we'll give some love to a few more of our great sponsors, including Qualis Roofing. We've had some crazy weather. Speaking of the weather, it's been bizarre around Central Texas over these last few weeks. Probably a good time to have your roof inspected. You know, it's one of the most important parts of your home. It's the thing that keeps you and your loved ones safe. You don't want to take any chances with your roof. You might not have a leak going on right now, but there could be something going on from all of the rain and the hail and the high winds that we've had. Something could have happened to your roof. If you get it checked out now, then it could be just a minor fix. Or, hey, maybe there's nothing wrong at all. It's good to have peace of mind. But maybe there's something minor going on. Get it fixed right now. If you don't, it could turn into a major, major problem the next time some big storm rolls through Central Texas. You don't want to deal with that. Qualis Roofing and Construction, they are our friends. They are the very best in the business, and they will come out to your place for free. That's right. Free inspections, free storm assessments. They'll come out, they'll check everything out, and they'll let you know what is going on. And oh, by the way, they're also going to buy you a Texas Longhorns t-shirt just for having them out. Seriously, you have them out to your place, they'll come out for free, and they will buy you something. That is how much they want your business. Fantastic people, guys you could trust, tons of 5-star reviews online. Their work is second to none. Reach out to them and thank us later. QualisGC.com. That is their website. You can give them a shout, 512-257-0033. It's Qualis Roofing and Construction. Also, some love to our friends at McCall Custom Homes, custom home builders and renovators. Here in Central Texas, we trust our places to the experts at McCall Custom Homes. You should too. A+ rated by the BBB. It's a father-son team that started in Austin, and they have stayed in Austin. So they know what it takes to turn a Central Texas home into something truly, truly special. McCall Custom Homes, ATX.com. That's their website. Free estimates to listeners of this show. Double R, I know you're a fan of Mike McCall. You've become friends with him over the years. You've got the McCall Custom Homes hat rocking this morning. man, they're fantastic people who do fantastic work.
Yeah, great folks. Absolutely. I've talked about this. I think I talked about it the last time. I had an AC situation at the other house, and I called him up. I'm like, Mike, man, this thing ain't cooling. He's like, call this guy. Within an hour,
boom.
Within an hour, I get a knock on the door, and it's a good door knocker this time because the AC was fixed. And Mike. With the, I mean, just the trades, man. The people that come in, they treat your home as if it is theirs. You got to check them out. McCall Custom Homes, ATX.com.
There you go. 512-633-9580. The phone number to call. That's Mike's direct line. Reach out to him. He will take care of you. Tim love to relax the back. I'm sitting in my relax the back chair this morning. I got to get out there, man. I want to get one of those like back cushions for my car. You know, myself a more comfortable ride. I'm going to get to relax the back here this weekend and upgrade. They've got accessories. They've got chairs. They've got mattresses. They've got anything to make your back pain go away. But it's maybe you don't have back pain. You still want to be comfortable when you're at work, or maybe you work from home, or you're driving around. But they've got everything you need to just enjoy life a little bit more. Relax. You want to relax. You go through a lot. Feel more relaxed with Relax the Back. Two Austin area locations, one down south in the Hill Country Galleria, the other up north at 183-360 split by the Container Store. It's relaxtheback.com. You could shop online there as well.
Hey, and the best part about that is I bet with a Relax the Back enhancer there for the car, you don't have to finance that like you have to do a new car. It makes better sense to get yourself something like that.
I like that. Yeah, good thinking right there.
I need a relax back chair too. I've got a very what do they call it? Ergonomic friendly chair right here.
What are you rocking? You're rocking a stool? What are you sitting on?
This is some kind of Amazon chair right here that I bought. And it's like one of the arms is like, you know, if you sneeze, the arm like moves around. Yeah, man, I got to get it. Doesn't go up very far. Like, about as far up as it goes. I mean, no, ain't doing it. I'm calling them.
Yeah, need something better. They got you. Reach out to our guy, Jason Bezos. He stinks. He ain't helping. He's too busy, banging that astronaut that he's now dating or married to, whatever the deal is.
And the other part of it is when I put this chair together, I had like three screws left after I put it together. So that may be part of the problem.
That's never good. That's never good. Hey, this went together easy. And then you look and you're like, oh, I didn't use half the.
Works great.
It's not good. Oh, man. All right. Well, game six tonight in San Antonio, the Spurs trying to stave off elimination against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Of course, the Thunder with a 3-2 lead after winning game five back on Tuesday north of the Red River. It was a performance to forget for Victor Wembanyama. It was really a performance to get for all of the San Antonio Spurs. I mean, De'Aaron Fox had a rough go. Devin Vassell was not very good. I thought Dylan Harper had his worst game of the postseason by far. Just a forgettable showing for San Antonio, and now their backs are against the wall. But they are playing at home. Been very good at home all year. They are favored in this game tonight. The last game in San Antonio was a blowout in favor of the Spurs. Double R, what's your confidence level in San Antonio being able to force that winner-take-all game seven?
This is a little low, my man. I got to tell you, I just think that what I feared was going to happen at some point in this series was that Oklahoma City was going to figure out a way to San Antonio had kind of been the kryptonite for Oklahoma City all year, the defending NBA champs. And I was fearful that at some point they were going to figure out some way to do that. And they have. I think they've frustrated Wimby, and they've come into look, man, we can talk about fouls or flopping and all of that. Oklahoma City's using that to their benefit right now. And it's got not only Victor Wembanyama frustrated, it's got Mitch Johnson frustrated, and that was very much a, I think you said this yesterday, I think it was you that I that was very much a Dallas Cowboy playoff performance what I saw the other night from the San Antonio Spurs, and I wonder how they bounce back from that. The games at Frostbank Center, San Antonio's come out and just been lights out, but they found a way to let Oklahoma City come back into those ball games. And that's kind of where I started to see a little bit of some cracks in the foundation in these games, to where San Antonio's able to jump out, but Oklahoma City finds a way, even if it's with the help of the officials, in my opinion. But I, honestly, I think San Antonio finds a way to win tonight. I do think that they find a way to win tonight by a very scant measure in a really good game. Yeah. But I just don't think that they can win this series at this point. I just don't think it can happen, man.
You got to make sure the sisters are there.
Yes.
Or the nuns are there.
Las Virgenes. Las Virgenes. I hope that they are there.
Good
we
things
need them.
Happen when they show up. Yeah, you need all hands on deck. Maybe Selena Gomez needs to show up again for a Spurs game. Yeah, you know, my fear with San Antonio, I do
maybe
like
the other Spurs, Selena, the one that's passed. Maybe she needs to show up for this game.
The ghost of Selena. What, we get a hologram Selena performance or something before the game? That'd be creepy, but I'm for it. Yeesh. I am all for it. Give me more hologram performances. Bring those back. My concern with San Antonio is it's just that Wimby's run out of gas.
Yeah.
Like it's been the concern with Wimby since he got to the league. It's like, we know he's good, but durability. Like, can he stay healthy? He's obviously healthy right now. At least we think he's healthy. But like, when you're 7'4", it takes a lot more to move you than it does if you're 6'4". So has he run out of gas? He looked exhausted in game 5. And he was the biggest reason why the Spurs lost. He just no-showed in the biggest game of his career. Well, now tonight's the biggest game of his career, right? So what do we get from him? Can he bounce back? Only one day rest. It's not like he's had a bunch of time off between the last couple of games to get his body right and get his mind right, this, that, and the other. Just one day off. Can he be the Wemby we've seen? We saw it in game 4. We saw it in game 1, where he looked energetic, passionate. He was setting the tone for San Antonio. He looked like not only the best player on the court, but the best player in the world. Is that the Wimby we get? Or is it the Wimby that we saw the other night where he just, mm-hmm. I mean, Isaiah Hartenstein's looking like Dirk Nowitzki out there. He was owning him. That cannot happen. Wemby's got to get off to a good start. I'm just a little worried about his energy, but I think he's going to bring it tonight. And I do think we'll get that winner take all game 7 come Saturday.
And I think that's something that I think I mentioned this, that Oklahoma City, what they were going to do in the series prior, where they saw the physicality to where who was that? Portland, I guess some of the physicality against Wimby that they would figure that part out and use that to their advantage. And that's what they've done, because they have, they've tired this dude out. But where you go back to, and I think a lot of this tonight is, I hate to call them the supporting cast, you know, with Fox and Champagne and all these different guys for San Antonio. That's a lot of guys that can make plays happen. And that's why I think that tonight they do find a way to get this. But Wimby's got to get himself good 2 more times. And then, oh, by the way, there's not a lot of layoff for a Knicks team that is just kind of waiting right there. And again, I'm projecting way out here, even bringing up the New York Knicks. But ultimately, that's what you get next. But, man, diehard Spurs fan, I bleed the silver and black, man. But I just don't think that this team has the steam left to get this done tonight.
Well, anything could happen in a game 7. Anything could happen in a game 7. True. So give yourself a chance. You know, Portland was round 1. This team was round 2.
Minnesota. Yeah, forgot about those people.
Those guys. Hey, you better hope Tony Brothers is not on the game tonight, because that was an officiating atrocity the other night. Now, it wasn't the reason why the Spurs lost. They just didn't play well enough to win. But that sequence, what, at the end of the third quarter, where they missed the goaltending call, and then they miss the out-of-bounds call, and Mitch Johnson's trying to challenge. They miss him trying to challenge, and then he gets teed up after all that. It's like, that was a total joke right there, and it doesn't help the Oklahoma City haters out there who believe that the refs are in the Thunder's pockets 24/7, 365. I'm one of them. So you better hope Tony Brothers isn't there. But, yeah, you got to figure it out. You got to make some more adjustments here. Wimby can't be guarding Alex Caruso. That's just not working. You got to put him on somebody else, because Caruso is making life miserable for him. And I think the energy that Wimby's expounding, trying to run around and chase Caruso everywhere, is not helping him on the offensive end of the floor. Obviously, it's taking him out of the paint at times, which is not good for the Spurs defensively. They lose that last line of rim protection. And speaking of Luke Kornet, he's been really bad in this series. Like, obviously, you can't play Wembanyama 48 minutes. I understand that. But maybe you just play small. Maybe you do something else. because Chet Holmgren's not having a great offensive series. Isaiah Hartenstein, you don't worry about his offense too much. Maybe you go small when Wemby's off the floor because Luke Kornet's just getting attacked by everybody. I mean, he only played 8 minutes in the fifth game. That was the fewest he's played all series long. Maybe it's 0 minutes. Maybe it's 8 seconds tonight that he plays. Like, I don't know, man. Like, that's a move I would consider making. They've got to make some more adjustments. I feel like Mitch Johnson's been a little slow. I thought it took him too long to stop double-teaming Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. It took him until the fourth game to do that. And again, there's just some other things that I think he needs to do to get Wemby going, but also just it's do or die tonight. Your minutes are valuable. You cannot put somebody on the floor who is a total liability out there. I think Luke Kornet's a solid player. He just is a horrible matchup, apparently, for Oklahoma City. They've got to go in a different direction, methinks.
Yeah, and it can be, I mean, it can be fatigue. I mean, a lot of it can be fatigue, but I see San Antonio doing things to where it just looks desperate. I mean, you're seeing them do desperate things. I mean, the lack of cohesiveness on offense, which is something that has driven this team. I mean, anything that has a Popovich spin to it, you're going to see a lot of fundamentally good offensive play that just kind of goes out the window. And it does where a gassed Wemby is just trying to do things on his own, you know, and that's where the team concept kind of goes away. But it, you know, the other part about this is, I think we talked about this at the Mullet Open before we went out and burned up the golf course, to where I said to where with Oklahoma City and San Antonio, it was really hard to find things that would make you dislike them other than the fact that they are going to win a lot and have won a lot to this point. But man, I'm tired of the flopping, and it could be a different opponent for Oklahoma City right now. But I'm like, man, you breathe on this dude. Yeah. And he's going to flop, and he's going to – that's – but we talk about college athletics being different, BK. That's our NBA now, man. I'm tired of this.
But part of me is like, don't hate the player, hate the game. I'm going to hate both. I'm going to hate Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for flopping all over the place like a fish out of water. But, like, he knows he can get away with it, and they know they can get away with it because the refs don't know what they're doing. NBA doesn't take its officiating seriously enough, and it's a very difficult sport to officiate, but it's the biggest problem with basketball right now. It's just the officiating is way too impactful for what happens in games, and I don't really know how to fix it. I'm the guy who's complaining but doesn't really have a solution. I think maybe investing more into referee training could help, but again, there's only so much you could do. Because just the way basketball is, it's like, is it physical? Is it non-physical? Like, sometimes contact's a foul, sometimes contact's not a foul. How do you determine what is right and what isn't? Just at its core, it's a tough game to officiate with the way that it's played. But yeah, no, it's not short term. It's not going anywhere. OKC's going to do it tonight. They'll do it in a game 7. They'll do it in the finals if they get there. They'll do it next year. They're going to keep doing it until, you know, the league puts a crackdown on it. So I don't know. But we'll see. Game 6 tonight. Wemby's got to be more aggressive. This is kind of the stat that says it all. And when the Spurs 2 wins in this series, Wemby's averaged 14.5 shots from within 5 feet. In the 3 losses that the Spurs have had in this series, he's averaged 5 shots within 5 feet. So some of it, you give OKC credit for defending him and forcing him outside. Some of it's like, dude, Wemby, you got to be willing to bang bodies a little bit more. All right? Like, he's not just your typical back down kind of player. I get that. But he's got to be more aggressive, and he's got to be closer to the hoop. He's a good three-point shooter. I get it. But he's wasting his skills if he's standing outside the three-point line. That's exactly where OKC wants to keep him. He's got to find a way to get closer to the 10 and be more aggressive. If he does, I think he has a great game, and San Antonio wins. If he doesn't, then disappointing. It'll be a disappointing end to the year for San Antonio on their home courts.
Well, I have to say, though, yes, disappointing, absolutely. I mean, because ultimately this team has put themselves in a spot to be in the NBA championship conversation. But For me, I mean, regardless of what happens this year, and again, being the optimist right here, like I've said, this team is a year and a half, 2 years ahead of where I thought they were going to be. I think with Wimby, get a little muscle on this dude, teach him to be the guy that controls the paint. And yeah, these logo shots and all that, man, it's beautiful. And to see that big old dude do all that, but you hit the nail on the head right there. Man, you are built to be in the paint and control that. That is your space right there. But disappointed, absolutely, but optimistic. Whatever happened, you should be.
And look, if the Spurs lose this series, and I think this would be more telling if they lose on Saturday in a game seven, your number one goal next year is to be the one seed.
Absolutely.
At times you don't really see teams care that much. It's like, just get in the playoffs, whatever. We can make a run. I mean, the Knicks are what, the three seed in the East, so they went on the road and won some games. Actually, no, they didn't. They were the home team because they got the seven seed and they got the four seed. So maybe that's not a good example. But some teams don't care. It's just you want that game seven at home because it feels like the Spurs and Thunder could play.
Yeah, OKC's not going anywhere. Yeah,
right. They could play seven times in the next 10 Western Conference Finals. And obviously that's putting the cart way before the horse here. But these are young teams that are very good, that are well run. They're not going anywhere. We all know this. Like, if home court is what decides, if losing a game seven on the road is the difference in this one, then you've got to find a way to win one more game than OKC in the regular season next year. Simple as that. All right, we'll take your thoughts. The Dakota text line, 512-222-9328. No gold star lock from the Buck. He had one play last night on the Montreal Canadiens in the NHL, and they got skunked.
Oh, that was, I turned that on, and I have to tell you, for our hockey friends, nothing feels more hockey-ish to me than Carolina and Las Vegas. Right?
Two historic hockey towns.
Yeah.
Hockey's just ingrained into the culture in Raleigh and Las Vegas.
Yeah. I was talking to a dude last night, and he's actually the one, because I'm like, oh, Vegas, this, that, and the other. He's like, man, I've been a hockey fan for 35 years. He's like, I get it. It's a great game. He's like, but come on, man. Carolina? Vegas?
It's crazy. I got a couple of friends who are Knights fans. Like, they live in Vegas, so like it is. Yeah. But it's like, man, y'all have it so good. Your team's been in the league 9 years. You've made it to the final in three of them. You made the playoffs basically every year. Like, there's no adversity that you guys have faced. I can't respect you. I know you might watch every game. I don't respect you, okay?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about Vegas. So I will be rooting for Carolina if we get there. And look, the good news is, I mean, it's not over yet. The Eastern Conference Finals is not over yet. Carolina's up 3-1. Now, they are going home for game five. I think it will end tomorrow night. But I was getting a little worried when Montreal made the Final Four, because I've always said, Double R, when a Canadian team wins the Stanley Cup, that'll be the year that I die. Because the last time a Canadian team has won the cup was the year before I was born. So I'm like, that's the tell. If you can put money on somebody dying, do it right after a Canadian team wins the cup. I was getting a little nervous. I think I'm going to live for at least one more year, sir.
Yeah. It and again, I mean, the hockey's great, but I mean, it does. It kind of loses. You just expect now the U.S. controls the Olympics, for crying out loud. So I guess it's the ultimate take over at this point. But say never. What, you only got to win three. Only got to win three if you're Montreal.
That's it. Three in a row against the juggernaut that is the Raising Cane's chicken fingers of Carolina. That'll be a good final if we do get the Canes and the Knights. But yeah, it is funny for sure. All right, real quick, Texas softball. We'll get to the BBK news and why today's not so bad. But Texas softball, 1:30 this afternoon, opening up Women's College World Series play against the fake UT, the 2-seed Texas, the 7-seed Tennessee. Game one's very important. And look, the Longhorns have been to the Women's College World Series three times under Mike White. They have made the championship series in all three. Obviously, last year was the first year they were able to win the national championship. But in all three of those previous trips to Oklahoma City, Texas has won its first game. The Women's College World Series started in 1969. Very nice.
Good year.
There have only been four teams that have lost their opening game and gone on to win the national championship. That is nearly 60 years of Women's College World Series. Only four times was a team able to lose their opener and win the whole thing. It's double eliminations. Obviously, Texas wouldn't be out if they lost today, but history would not be on the Longhorn side at all. This is a big one against the Lady Vols.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And a good program. You face a good program. Yeah. I mean, here's how you're going to set the tone for your run to try to win that national championship again. Very confident in this group. I have to tell you, very confident in this group. The one thing that I hope is hide the crowd mic a little better, please. I enjoyed that. I thought I got like four texts. They're like, "Do you hear that?" And I had the volume turned down because I was watching something else. But no, man, this is kind of the difference with the softball team and then with the baseball team, to where I have a pretty good idea going into game one what I'm going to get here with the ladies. Where the guys, it's like, well, if this, if that, I know what I'm going to get out of this group. I know what I'm going to get out of this.
They've been there, done that. They're comfortable with Devin Park. Obviously, they won it all here last year, and they're the favorites to win it all right now that Oklahoma is out of this thing. So, yeah, look, Tegan Kavan's got to be great. She was fantastic in that Super Regional Game 3 against Arizona State. She's got to be on her game. Tennessee's the best pitching team in college softball. They have the lowest team ERA. They've got a couple of aces on their staff. With Texas, it's Tegan Kavan. I mean, there's some other good pitchers on this team. But you know Tegan Kavan's the go-to when you need a great performance. Tennessee has a couple of them, including Carlin Pickens, who was just the number one pick in the AUSL draft, the Pro Softball League. She has thrown a pitch 79.4 miles per hour, which is the fastest pitch ever recorded in NCAA softball history. Wow. So she's a flamethrower. And you're like, wow, 79, that's nothing compared to baseball. They're a lot closer to the batter's box in softball than they are in baseball. So that's coming in at what looks like 100, basically. So, yeah, they've got two great pitchers. It's going to be a low-scoring game. If you're Texas, you're only going to get two, three, four opportunities, I think, offensively against a team as good as Tennessee. You got to cash in. You need that timely hit. The Longhorn offense has been great. It's kind of strength on strength from that regard. But I expect a low-scoring affair, which means Tegan Caban's got to be really good for Texas. And again, the Longhorn Bats, they've got to strike when they can. Big one today. I'm with you. I'm confident. I like the Longhorns, but it will not be easy for sure. By the way, Mike White, 799 career wins. So a win today would be big for a lot of reasons, but it'd be win number 800 for him in his very impressive coaching career.
And I have to tell you, talking about momentum and so forth, where we're talking about with the baseball team, I mean, with Victoria Hunter against Arizona State, I mean, coming off of that, if you want to talk about momentum and enthusiasm that you have right now. I mean, this is going to be a very confident Texas softball team that takes to the field, and I like that better than 12 days off. Yeah. Where I think that you're going to bring that, you're going to push that, and you're going to have all of that you come in and against a good opponent. I mean, it's a really good opponent. Good. So yeah. I love the layout right here, man. I love this setup here for the ladies.
The road to repeat begins today, 1:30 this afternoon on ESPN. And hopefully we do have the field mics going today. I'd love to hear something like this again.
Wonderful relationship, those two. And she said, when you come to Austin, they tell you,
lick my ballsack.
You're going to compete for national championships as an assistant, and then they're going to send you off.
You know, that would happen to me, you know, doing high school baseball play-by-play. Yep. You know, you always have the most extreme setups. I mean, you remember that well, to where it was like – and it got to the point where at Lake Travis, when I was doing Lake Travis, you know, it was very obvious where the crowd mic was, and you can't keep people away from it. And then at points I had, like, this one kid that like, he would come up and he's like, Mr. Ronnie, Mr. Ronnie. See, I was Ronnie back then too.
Oh,
so yeah,
it's creepy right there, dude.
Ronnie, you know, I'd be trying to wave him away, and of course, the parents are sitting there doing other things. I'm like, go get your kid. Come on now,
just some random kid effing with you.
Oh yeah, all the time. And he'd wave, and he'd be doing it, Ronnie, and I'm like, get the.
Yeah, and he knows exactly where he is. He knows the audio is getting picked up. Oh,
yeah. I'm like, come on, man. Yeah, but that was
fantastic.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, lick my balls. Hopefully that guy makes the trip to Oklahoma City and we get a repeat of that today. That's
the mojo you need right there.
That is. That was a game Texas won. That was in the seventh inning of that third and final game, the decisive game against Arizona State. So Ligma, the Ligma guy there, yeah, to help Texas win it all. That was so good. All right, the BBK news and why today's not so bad. I feel like I should save this for the buck, but nah, you've earned this one. Real quick, shout out to Sleep Cycle Center, our guy Dr. Chad, his great team at Sleep Cycle Center. If you are a snorer or if your significant other is a snorer, and you got a roommate who's a snorer, it's not just annoying to you. It can be a problem for them. Seriously, snoring can be the sign of a serious health risk. More than 22 million Americans have undiagnosed sleep apnea. NFL Hall of Famer Reggie White lost his life in his sleep. Why? Undiagnosed sleep apnea. Dr. Chad at Sleep Cycle Center, he lost his own father in his sleep. Undiagnosed sleep apnea. It's why Dr. Chad cares so much about this. He doesn't want that to happen to you or anybody that you love. It's not just CPAP. You might think, I don't want to deal with that big machine and filling it up and this, that, and the other. They've got tons of ways to make your snoring go away so you can get the sleep and you can breathe the way that you need to be breathing. SleepCycleCenters.com. Mention the show. You'll get $100 off an at-home sleep study. Also, a free consultation as well. Two Austin area locations. One in Lakeway off of 620. The other in North Austin, 183 and Breaker. Again, SleepCycleCenters.com for more information. And some love to Woods Comfort Systems. HVAC problems? You want to make sure you don't have any HVAC problems when the summertime gets here? Call on our friends at Woods Comfort Systems. 70 years of service here in Central Texas. Nobody does it better. Their reviews, they've got like 3,000 Google reviews, and they're at 4.9 stars, which is almost impossible to do. That's how good they are. That's what their customer service is. The quality of work is second to none.
Google me.
Yeah, Google them. WoodsComfortSystems.com is their website, or give them a call, 512-842-5066. Well, Double R, I know you love the travel stories that we have from time to time on this show.
Yeah, man. I indulge on some of that stuff. I'll tell you. I think it's in the time that I've spent with you, they find me.
Yeah. I know you and Wags would talk about them in the TSU days. Obviously, during crosstalk, a lot of times the four of us would talk about some crazy travel stories, airport videos, airplane videos, and
bag handlers.
Well, that's what we've got. The bag apes are back. Good
bag. Oh, really? Oh.
Bag apes are here. Now, we don't always have bag ape videos. It's usually airport behavior or airplane behavior that kind of dominates our travel conversations that we have here on this network. But bag apes are back here. There's a little clip. How about some guitars coming out of one of those little carriers on the tarmac at an airport? And, you know, guitars are valuable. They're expensive. They're important. It's how a lot of people make a living. And this bag ape is just throwing them. I mean, with no regard. Boom, toss. Who cares? I'll throw a guitar on top of another guitar. It doesn't matter. I don't care where this thing falls. I don't care what it hits. This guy is just flinging them with no regard for guitar life.
Wow. And you would have to think with the amount of those that are coming, that had to be like a band.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So that like jacks up the whole tour or whatever the hell's going on. Look, come on. The common sense is very hard to find these days. I'm very convinced that common sense is something that can't be taught. It's just something that you have. You have to know that's something that you can't just toss around, right? A suitcase is one thing. I mean, I get that, but
I mean, it's like he's intentionally doing it too. And you know, in suitcases, you don't know, right? There might be nothing valuable in there. It might be clothes and you can't throw them around. It's no big deal. You still shouldn't be doing that. You should be gently putting them on the ground. I feel like that's
right.
Part of the job. But like, these are clearly guitars. These are expensive, fragile, valuable, fragile. Sorry, I should speak Italian there. And he just like, if you're on the plane, and you're watching this happen, and you're like in the band, you're like, there's nothing you can do. Can't yell at the guy. There's nothing you can do. You're SOL. Brutal.
Jeez, just tossing those things up on top of each other. I mean, what was that? That was six or seven guitars right there. What's a guitar? What is a really good guitar? I mean, like for a professional, what does that cost? I guarantee you it ain't $69.99.
No, I would say like a nice guitar is $500 minimum. You're probably like around the $1,000 range, maybe more than that. If you actually can, I'm sure you can get an entry level one for a couple $100 or a used one for a couple $100. But like, if you're in a band, which I think your deductive reasoning was strong there, then you're paying four figures easy wow. for those guitars, and you just got some jack wagon throwing them around like it's nothing.
Well. Hey, that's one. I'm assuming that's not Spirit Airlines, so we can't blame that one on them, right?
No, they're gone. Yeah, you can't pin all the airport problems on Spirit anymore. They're no longer with us.
Wow.
Well, I don't know who it was. I couldn't quite tell, and the clip didn't have any information on which airline this was, or even which airport it was. But I figured you would get a kick out of that one, my friend.
That is the worst part. I mean, just think about that. You're sitting there on the tarmac, and what you can do absolutely nothing but sit there and see your stuff get thrown around like that.
Yeah. I beg your pardon. LAX. We do have the airport. No airline, but LAX. So, yeah, probably music involved here.
Oh, yeah.
No a lot doubt. Of people go to do some music things. And, gone forever. All right, why today is not so bad before we get out of here. And thanks again, dude, for doing this on such short notice. I'm going to go to Bucky's place today and bring that dude a freaking hotspot so this doesn't happen again. My God, he doesn't know what a hotspot is. I would tell him to buy it himself, but he has no idea what that word is. So it was like something I got to do. Why today is not so bad. This day in 1897, Pearl B. Waite introduced the trademark gelatin dessert named Jell-O. Market flopped. He eventually sold the business for next to nothing. Bad move, because the brand was later transformed into one of the most recognizable American pantry staples in the 20th century. You a Jell-O guy?
You know, I like Jell-O, but I like the old school one where you buy the little packet and you actually make the Jell-O. You know, because you can buy the pudding pops and all that stuff, you know, and the little single things. But I like to make the Jell-O, where you sit there and you put it in there and you can kind of watch it form and expand in that. Yeah, I'm a Jell-O dude. I like that. I like some fruit cocktail in the Jell-O too.
You're one of those guys.
I'm one of those guys. I'm kinky like that, my man.
Nice Bill Cosby impression there, sir, with the Jell-O pudding pops. Wasn't that his bit?
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that, but
not a big Jell-O guy. When I was going to Luby's growing up, of course, with grandparents, because they're the only people who go to Luby's, I would get the Jell-O there, but I haven't had Jell-O in years. Not my thing. Too weird. Birthdays. Kirk Gibson, 69.
Ooh.
A legendary Kirk Gibson. Former Astro Bill Duran, 68. Former NBA bust Michael Owolakandi, 51. Craig Kimbrell, the guy who does this, 38. Every time I used to do this bit when I was in college, and I thought I was funny. Whenever Craig Kimbrell was pitching and the game was on TV, I would have to do this for the entire ninth inning while he was on the pump. It hurt. It was dumb. Had better ideas. Gladys Knight, 82.
Gladys Knight in the pipes.
Yeah.
My aunt used to say, Gladys Knight in the pipes. That's Pips.
Night in the pie. I like Pipes better. That's great. The Empress of Soul was 82. John Fogerty.
Ooh.
CCR. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. Maybe fitting that the Women's College World Series starts today and the NCAA baseball tournament starts tomorrow. He's 81. Rudy Giuliani. That's a politics guy, I think. 82. Born on this day, now dead. The logo, Jerry West.
Ooh. Soon to be replaced by Wimby.
Seem to be replaced by, not if Wimby keeps playing like he did the other night. My God. And then the award, Jim Thorpe. Was that his nickname? The award?
So. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
One of the greatest all-around athletes of all time. Olympic gold medalist, pro football player, pro basketball player, pro MLB player. the history of Jim Thorpe is the guy's more than an award, but it's cool that he was named after an award.
That's right.
Yeah, that's people like that award, I guess.
It's, he never got to win that. That's the unfortunate thing.
That is.
All right.
National Hamburger Day and National Biscuit Day today, Double R. Yeah. Oh,
man.
I'll let you go. Two great food items. PETA hates this day. Go get you a Hat Creek burger or go get you some barbecue brisket this afternoon.
This isn't the day, if you're watching your girlish figure, to indulge in either one of those. Man, good burgers and good. Oh man, why they gotta stack them? You break those up.
That's a tough. I mean, you go burger for lunch, brisket for dinner, but those aren't the lightest meals you've ever had back to back.
That's right.
If you are dieting, that's probably not what you should be doing. But I'm not dieting.
And if you are dieting, I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. All right, you're the man, dude. This was fun. Thanks for being available on such short notice. I'm sure we'll get the chance to chop it up again soon, but really appreciate you, brother.
Absolutely, man. Anytime, just reach out. Good to talk to you people, as we say. And I forgot to say, when I was going to come on, I was going to break in with, hello, friends.
Ah, yes. Hello, friends. Well, now it's goodbye, friends. Goodbye. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Hopefully the Bucks back tomorrow. We'll see. Who knows what's going to happen. But thank you all for your time today. And we'll be back tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Y'all have a good one. And hook 'em.
Hook 'em.